to keep us in faith. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way you're going to live as a woman of God except by faith. And I'm here, and the pastors are here to tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God, which is our responsibility. Our job is to feed you. Our job is to make sure you're safe. Our job is to pray for you, to nurture you, to love you. We're here when you have your babies. We're here when we have to go to the cemetery together. We are here through life. We get to live with the flock of God, and it's the most precious, precious job assignment in the body of Christ, in my opinion, is to be a shepherdess. I get to be a shepherdess. I get to hold that staff, and I love you, and I love the women of this church. And you are going to have to, my darlings, live by faith. No matter how old you get or how young you are going to be required in the kingdom to live by faith. There's no other way to live. And so Jesus, on his last moments on the earth with his disciples, is doing a quick show and tell. As he does, he shows and then he tells. He shares and then he's always, always, always teaching us about the invisible kingdom of God, is he not? Because we've never seen it, and we don't know what it's like. And so they're on their way back from Jerusalem. He's hungry. Actually, they were on their way to Jerusalem. He was hungry. He looked at a fig tree. It had leaves on it. And when he found that there was no figs on it, he cursed the fig tree. And he said, "Don't let any figs ever be found on you again." And that fig tree just dried up and died. Now, if I was the disciples watching all this, I would be going, "How'd you do that?" Wouldn't you? If I went outside right now and I just cursed one of those pepper trees and said, "There's not going to be any more life in you," and it just dried up and died in front of your eyes, would you want to know how I did that? Well, that's exactly what was happening. And remember, it's show and tell time. He's teaching, teaching, training, training all the time. So in Mark chapter 11, he explains what happened. And it says here in verse 22, "And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away.' And Jesus says to them, 'Have faith in God.'" Well, wait, the tree is withered away, and you're telling me to have faith in God. Now he's going to teach. He says, "For assuredly, I say to you," I say to you, I say to you, Debbie Cobray, I say to you, women of God at the Rock, I say to you, this is the Master, the King of the universe talking to us. I say to my daughters, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt in her heart, but believes those things that she says will be done, she will have whatever she says. Therefore, verse 24, "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Verse 25, and an addenda. "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." So I've just taken this lesson of faith and speaking and praying and obeying, and I've made it real simple. Say it, pray it, obey it. So let's just look really fast. Say it. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. There is a mess or a miracle in my mouth. There is a mess or a miracle waiting to happen in my mouth. What comes out of my mouth is what is going to be what comes into my life. And I can be negative or I can be positive. I can be a woman of faith that says, "I choose to say what God says," or I can be a woman of the natural realm and I can say, "I'm going to say what I see." So, you know, we can either say what we see, or we can say what we believe. And when we say what we believe, we will begin to have what we say. Are you with me? So say it. What does that mean? Say it. Just a couple of things I wanted to share with you on saying it. If I'm going to move a mountain, I'm going to have to speak the word of God with faith out of my mouth. Now, what's your mountain? My mountain right now is finances and a construction project that now needs to be sold, and it's going to take a miracle for this to happen. So what do I do? Do I complain about how much it's cost to build this house, which I would like to do? Do I complain about the things that have happened on the job site that shouldn't have never happened, which I would like to do? As a pastor, do I complain about the people that have said things about us, which sometimes I would really like to do? Or do I switch over to kingdom And do I begin to speak what God says, who is the God that speaks those things that are not as if they were? And if I have asked God to do something, and if I'm believing God to do something, then I better start saying what I'm believing instead of stopping to say what I am seeing. Because you're going to say what you see. That's how we grow up. If your husband is not being nice to you, you're going to speak about it. But if you want your husband to be your lover, then start changing what you say about him. If your kids are screwed up and they don't care about this or they don't care about that, you have a natural, and I have a natural tendency to say what I'm seeing instead of speaking the word of God, speaking those things that are not as if they were. When my children were not behaving God, I had memorized scriptures and I would say, Father, I thank you that my children are disciples taught of the Lord, obedient to your will. And great is the peace and the undisturbed composure of my children. And I would begin to speak the word over them so that I was not training my heart to be discouraged. I was training my heart to believe God. I had to say it, a miracle in my mouth or a mess in my mouth. How do I do this? I've got to realize this is a spiritual law. Everything, listen to me, everything has ears. Everything has ears. Everything has ears. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. That fig tree had ears. It withered, just like he told it to. Joshua spoke to a wall in Jericho with a shout of victory, and that wall had ears and it came down. Did it not? Jesus spoke to a storm, a hurricane, a typhoon, if you would, when he was on the Sea of Galilee. That typhoon had ears, and it stopped. When he said, peace, be still, it stopped. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Everything has ears, from inanimate objects to things that are invisible to things that actually are alive and have the breath of life in them. Everything in this universe has ears. You can create a mess or you can create a miracle. Because you, my darlings, like I told you last time I taught, which I think was last week, are not mere women. You are not just mere human beings. You have been translated out of that kingdom and you've been given the DNA of God himself. You are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You are a new creation. You have a new nature. You have heaven waiting for you. You have the Holy Spirit taking you through this life. Everything that Jesus had, you have available to you, but we've got to learn how to operate in it. So I have to learn how to say it. So to do that, I've got to realize this is a spiritual law. I've got to repent of a sloppy tongue. I've got a sloppy tongue right now. I don't know about you, but mine's gotten real sloppy. And I've got to be determined to speak words of life and love and not what I'm feeling. And I've got to ask God to put a watch on my tongue to help me. Psalm 141 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. The Holy Spirit can help us. If you're serious about changing your mouth, you change your words, you change your life. Psalm 141:3, set guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Lord, help us this summer to set a watch over our tongues in Jesus' name. Number two, he says, pray it. Now he goes on in Mark 11, 24, 23. He talked about my mouth. He says, therefore, in verse 24, I say to you, now this is Jesus, this is the king talking to us. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Faith comes when the will of God is known. When I have permission from a promise from God and I have sought the Lord, this is before I pray now. I'm not talking about just throwing a prayer up. I'm talking about getting permission to pray what you need from God. When you find it in the Word and it's a promise of God, then you go to God with that promise and you begin to think about it. You begin to talk to him about it. And you begin, because not everything is a promise for you right now. Don't go to such and such a city, it says in James, and say you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. Say, if it be the will of God, because your life is a vapor. So, not everything is thus saith the Lord. When we were building this house and deciding to go back into construction, we spent hours and days settling our hearts in the promises of God and knocking, seeking, and asking God if this was the direction he wanted us to go. We didn't just throw it out there and say, Lord, this is what we want to do. We rolled our works upon the Lord. But when you believe that this is the will of God, now you go and you pray. And you pray in faith because Jesus says, and listen to what he says, girls. He says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Now, there's a qualification in my name. He's not going to give you something. You want to ask for somebody else's husband. He's not going to do that. This is in Christ. That means in the kingdom. This is holy stuff, all right? But he cares about answering our prayers. He cares about us. If your kids are sick, you can ask him for them to be healed. Nowhere do I see God telling us to pray for somebody to die early. I don't see that. He says, let the prayer of faith heal the sick. He's the healer. Don't you stop until you see the healing. And if your healing doesn't come this side of heaven like Cheryl's little girl, then you have to trust those things to God. But you keep believing and you keep praying and you keep agreeing with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. Pray it. Pray. Get permission to get passion. He says those things that you desire. Listen, you don't just throw up a little half-hearted prayer. Oh, Lord, I think this is what I want. No, God's a passionate God. He says, I rejoice over you with singing. I spin and I dance over you. He went to that cross and he could have got off that cross, but he didn't get off that cross. He stayed on that cross because he loved us and he had a passion to finish the job. Therefore, if I'm going to do something in my life, I better do it with passion. And being lukewarm and being mealy-mouthed and half-hearted about anything isn't going to get you and I anywhere. Listen, become passionate women. Whatever it is you do, do it with all your might. If it's raising kids, then you be passionate about those kids. If you're married, then you be passionate about that husband and your family. If you're working and you've got a career, you be passionate about being the light that shines in the darkness in that career because God sets you there on purpose, for purpose. But God says, what do you want? How much do you want it? The fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Fervent, hot, red hot. Lord, this is what I believe is your will for me. This is what I desire. God, I want my family to serve you all of their days. I want every generational curse broken off of my family. In the name of Jesus, I want to establish a godly dynasty until you come, God. Those are some of my prayers. Believe that you receive it. And you'll have it. So pray it. And the last one, obey it. So simple. And whenever you stand praying, whenever you stand, which is all the time, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. I've got to do what he says, or he can't do what I ask. Did you hear that? I've got to do what he says, or he cannot do what I ask. I've got to do what he says, or he cannot do what I ask. There's a story in Numbers 23, and it's the story of Balaam in Israel. And Balaam was a prophet. He was crazy, and he was totally, completely in the flesh. He was not a godly man at all. He talks about him in Jude. It talks about him in Revelation. Talks about him in Numbers 23. And the Moabites hired him to curse Israel because they were afraid of Israel. And so Balaam, who had already talked to his donkey, it's a great story, and I don't have time to tell it, but it's quite a story. I mean, the donkey saved his life. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with your dog in English, and if that wasn't enough to stop you and say something's not normal here, maybe God's on the scene. But Balaam was that stupid. And he tries to curse Israel 7 times, and he cannot curse Israel. He cannot curse what God has blessed. That is a huge shout from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You are blessed of God. You have the power to succeed. You cannot be cursed. You cannot be cursed. You cannot be cursed. You hear what I'm saying? You cannot be cursed. You are blessed. You have the power to succeed. However, Balaam taught Moab how to cause Israel to curse themselves. And he brought in a temptation of women, and Israel fell with those women and their gods, and therefore they brought the curse of the plague on themselves. So here's what the devil does. God will not curse what he has blessed, and you are blessed, and I am blessed. But if he can tempt me over to back in the flesh through disobedience, I curse myself. That is why God says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything in your heart against anybody, forgive, or my heavenly Father will not forgive you. What is it? He doesn't want to? No, he can't. Matthew 18. So, if I don't do what God says, God cannot do what I ask. I curse myself. So, girls, this summer, let's say it, let's pray it, and let's obey it, and let's watch God do miracles, and let's have a miracle coming out of our mouths.
That was good. Thank you, Pastor Deborah. Such like a quick word, but so like fulfilling.